As we come to God's Word this evening, turning again, please, with me to that first chapter of John, John chapter 1. I would, perhaps if you don't mind, ask you to remember this week in prayer, especially the ploughing match which is taking place down in the Republic of Ireland. There will be many, many thousands of unsaved in. Pray that the Lord will even bless the literature that will be given out and the team that will go out down to help in the ploughing match. If you can remember to keep that on your prayers, this special effort. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank Thee, even as we have been singing. It's the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver Thee. Lord, we thank Thee that Thy Word is still relevant in the day that which we live. Lord, we thank Thee that we are living in the day of grace. And Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art still saving souls. And Lord, we thank Thee that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And no assurance of salvation. And Lord, we pray tonight, and as we come around Thy Word, Lord, we pray that Thou would shut us in with Thyself. Lord, that we would know Thy help, preacher and hearer alike. And Lord, that we would know Thy presence with us. O Lord, may our hearts rejoice in Thy so great salvation. O Lord, we pray again, if there be any unsaved, any backslidden, that even tonight, Lord, that You would draw alongside, blessed Holy Spirit, speak to some heart, some soul, and draw them unto Thee. So, Lord, continue on with us. For it's in Jesus' name we would ask these things. Amen. Many, if not all of us, have an inquisitive side. I know I certainly have. If there's something going on round about, something unusual, then are we not taking a wee look? We peep, perhaps some would call it being nosy. It may be from behind a blind or a curtain, out through the window at something that's going on in the street. But we are an inquisitive bunch. As we travel the roads, we see it. For if there is a police car pulled in on the side of the road, well, everyone's looking round. Or if there's an accident, there's usually a tailback, as people are so-called rubbernecking, seeing what's going on. For me, as I mentioned this morning, I have an interest in cars. And perhaps my inquisitive side is drawn towards a classic car or something that I would see on the road or perhaps on the side of the street. Perhaps a new piece of engineering equipment which I haven't seen before, given my background. I will examine it. I will ask questions in order to satisfy my curiosity. And for others, it will be perhaps something that's going on in the community, some stirring, something that's happening, someone that's moving in to a house down the road. As I say, we are all an inquisitive bunch. But this evening I would like to consider the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to two inquisitive men and consider the relevance of their actions and the reaction of the Lord for each one of us here tonight in Newton Ards. I want to look at tonight verses 37 to 39. Of this part of this chapter of 1 John. And there we read, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. And first of all, we read of these two men following after the Lord, believed to be, as we know, as it says in our passage, Andrew the second being John, the disciple whom the Lord loveth. And the Lord turns to them, and he asks the question, What seek ye? What seek ye? This perhaps seems to us somewhat insignificant. And if it were us, that we would that were recording the events of the Lord's earthly ministry, we would have probably passed it by. But yet it has been recorded by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and so it deserves our attention. And tonight I want to focus on the two phrases, "What seek ye?" and "Come and see." And first of all, we'll take a look at this question, "What seek ye?" This question could be asked, first of all, in a general sense. Everyone is looking for something, are they not? Seeking after something. We look at society around us. If the question was asked on the streets of any town in our province tonight, "What seek ye?" Well, the responses would be varied. All we have to do to find our answers is switch on our TVs. We see ads for the National Lottery or some gambling site. And with that, we see many people who are seeking wealth. Many in our society reckon that if they just move to a better house in a better area, then a lot of their problems will be solved. They're seeking a more comfortable life, a more comfortable surrounding. Or perhaps, for some, it is an exotic holiday. "What seek ye?" "Oh, if I had a fortnight or 3 weeks away in the sun, you know, it would make my life so much easier. Oh, I could shut off from all the problems that I have. I could just go and chill out, not worry about anything. Oh, it would make such a difference." Some seek fun, enjoyment, happiness, pleasure. We see TV ads and billboards that claim that this can be found at the bottom of a bottle or glass. We are all familiar with the pictures of people enjoying themselves over a drink. But more and more we see the rise of the ads for dating sites, each claiming to have the perfect partner for you to find love with. Everybody is seemingly seeking love. People around us in our society tonight are seeking. I wonder, my friend, as you sit here in Ards Free Presbyterian, what are you seeking? What are you seeking tonight? But these are all what could be considered general answers. A more intimate or personal response could be given. I believe that it is one or other of two main issues. There are people who are seeking personal happiness and contentment, and or the answers to the questions which press us. These are the two main issues, I believe. Is that not what we all seek? And to many that will come as a general answer, result of the general answer. As I say, tonight, if I were to ask you on the way out through the door, "What seek ye?" what would your response be? So as we come to this passage, let us examine the discourse between the Lord and these disciples and see his question to them and their response. When the Lord spoke to the two followers, he did not turn round and rebuke them or send them away. No, with compassion and tenderness, he spoke to them and he asked them the question, "What seek ye?" What is your reason tonight, as I've already said, for coming along to this gospel service? What seek ye? Many answers could be given. I wonder tonight, are you here out of routine or ritual? Churches across our land today have been filled with those who attend out of a sense of duty. It's the thing to do on a Sunday. Perhaps you're here to satisfy your own conscience. It makes you feel better, makes you feel like you've pleased God, or perhaps help you to merit favour for eternity. It may be the case that there are some here tonight who come because they are pleasing another, by invitation of a friend, a husband, a wife, a mother or a father. Truth be told, you may not be interested in what's going on, what the preacher has to say. And you will pass the time and go out having pleased that particular person or satisfied that particular need. Some may even say anything for a quiet life. Some today will come to church seeking Christ. But unfortunately, many will be seeking to benefit from him physically rather than spiritually. We don't have to go too far, friends, to see the rise of super churches. Churches that are offering this message that if you come to Jesus, all your problems will be sorted out. Your illnesses will go. You'll have wealth and health. And many quickly disappear from such places when their prayers are not answered. Or they go away and you get the response, well, Jesus didn't work for me. I didn't see any results. Why? Because they're seeking the wrong thing. They're seeking for the wrong reasons. They wanted a solution, a quick fix to their problems, without commitment, without trusting in the Savior. There was no true conviction of sin or repentance, only easy believism for personal benefit. Whatever the reason, I want you to answer the question put to all here tonight, unbeliever and believer alike, as it was put to the followers of the Lord, what seek ye? Believer, as you are gathered here tonight, what seek ye? Are you here to meet with Christ? Are you here to see once again the risen Son of God and rejoice in your salvation? Oh, that each one of us tonight would be like those Greeks of old, that as we are gathered, that our desire would be to see Jesus. Friend, I want you to search the deepest caverns of your heart and answer the question to yourself. For it is a truly searching question. I cannot dictate to you what your answer will be, but rather I want you to be honest with yourself tonight. As the Lord asked these men, they gave the reply. The Lord responded with perhaps the greatest answer possible. And I'm sure to their delight and perhaps to their surprise, he beckoned them to come and see. But we read that these two men asked the Lord where he dwelt or abode. They had heard on two consecutive days John the Baptist announce him as the Lamb of God, and we considered the Lamb of God this morning. Their curiosity had gotten the better of them, and so they had a desire to learn more of him. We see this by the response to the Lord's question. For there we see the word rabbi used. And the response shows two distinct acknowledgments. That of great respect for the Lord. For the position of rabbi was perhaps that of the highest honor in Jewish society. And secondly, an acknowledgment of his wisdom and his learning. In asking where he dwelt, it was more than a simple inquiry as to his lodgings. I believe that what they really wanted was to know, can we go with you? Can we learn more of you? Whatever your answer to the question of what seek ye, the reply of the Savior is still the same. Whatever ye seek, whatever ye desire, then come to Christ. Seek him and follow him. And tonight, his reply is still the same. Come and see. Come and see tonight. Not for what this preacher can do for you or give you. For I can give you nothing. Not for what this church can give you or do for you. For it can do nothing. But tonight I want you to come and see what the Lord has done for you. And what he will do for you. The message of the gospel, that is the good news. The teaching or the revelation of Christ is still the same as it was in the days of these disciples. God sent him his son to humble himself, being born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger, to take on the form of a servant. As we considered this morning, to live a spotless and a sinless life, that he may present himself as the perfect sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. That is the payment for sin that a holy and a just and a righteous God demanded. But it was not sufficient that Christ offer himself as that sacrifice. But it was necessary that he must shed his precious sinless blood on Calvary's cross to make atonement for sin. That is the reconciliation of God and man through his sacrifice. Christ died to make a way back to God for sinners like you and I. Friends, I wonder, have you stopped and contemplated that Christ died for your sins? Have you thought about what he endured on Calvary's cross to redeem a people unto himself? Many in our society today will say that Jesus died so that we all will go to heaven. They will dismiss the true message of the gospel. God's word makes it very clear that this is not the case. In John 3 and 16, that well-known verse, along with many others, we see that it is abundantly clear that salvation is freely offered, but only those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. I wonder, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ this evening? Oh yes, if I were to ask you on the way out, what do you seek for eternity? You would say, well, I want to be in heaven. I believe that there is a place called heaven and someday I want to go there. That's what I seek for eternity. And yet, friend, tonight you're still trusting in your own good works. You're still going along on your own strength. You're perhaps attending the house of God in order to satisfy your conscience. That one day you will stand before the Lord and you will say, I was at Newton Ard's Free Presbyterian Church. And friend, tonight, unless you come to Christ and trust him and repent of your sin, you will hear those words, depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you. I wonder tonight, are you trusting Christ for salvation? Many people today say that they are sorry for sin. We hear of those time and again that say they have made a decision for Christ or they've signed a card. They are sorry for their sin. But being sorry is not repentance. Repentance is realizing one's sinfulness and turning completely around, going in the opposite direction, away from sin. If I were to go to McGilbury prison tonight and to interview some of those who are incarcerated there, I'm sure that the majority would say they are sorry for what they have done. Why? Well, it may get them out. It may get them out. But truth be told, they're not sorry for what they have done. They're sorry that they got caught. So it is with men and women. I wonder, is that it with you tonight? Well, you may say you're sorry for your sin, but you have never repented. You have never turned away from it. You have never asked God to forgive you. You have never put your trust in Christ for salvation. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I believe that the two men of which we read in this passage realized, as John proclaimed, behold the Lamb of God, that this was no ordinary man, that this was no prophet. And so they followed him. So they sought him to learn more of him. And the Lord bid them come and see. I want to notice that this was a call of invitation. We read that they came and they abode with him that day. And I believe that they abode with him not only on that day, but from that day, and for the rest of eternity. That day, as they followed Christ, they came and saw. As Christ talked with these two men, their lives were changed. They were shown clearly the way of salvation by the Son of God. They believed in Christ, the Redeemer of men. They saw that they were sinners before a just and a holy God. When they accepted Christ as the promised Messiah, as Lord of their lives, They're a saviour from their sins as they listen to his word. In verse 41 of our passage, we read the testimony of Andrew. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. That day, Andrew accepted Christ as Saviour and Lord. Did the Lord not say to Zacchaeus that the Son of Man was come to seek and save that which was lost? And was this not the case with Andrew and his friend? As the Lord ministered on this earth, he bid men and women, and boys and girls, come and see. And the invitation is still the same today. Come and see. It is an invitation for you tonight, my friend. The gospel call goes out once again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Will you not come and see? Young or old, the Lord calls you to come to him. It is an invitation to the young, for we read his words in Mark chapter 10 and verse 14, where he says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." It is a call of invitation to the weary. Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It is an invitation to the hungry. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger." And it isn't a call of invitation to the thirsty. We think of that passage where the Lord met with the woman at the well. And he told her of the water of which she would never thirst again. That spring of living water that would spring up inside. In Revelation chapter 22 and 17, we read, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Friend, tonight, it is a call of invitation to the concerned. I wonder, are you facing difficulty and trial? Then come to Christ and cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And it is an invitation, a call to the lost, the lonely and the hurting. In Ezekiel 34 and verse 16, we read those words, "And I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick." Friend, tonight, whatever your circumstances may be, whatever situation you find yourself in, it is a call of invitation to you tonight. Come and see what the Lord can do for you. He can save you from your sin, and he can give you that assurance of salvation, that assurance that one day you will be in glory with him, with your Lord and Savior. Unbeliever, no one is excluded from the invitation to come. But it was also a call to separation. A call to leave the old paths, old sins, and follow him. To separate from that which is contrary to God's word. Again, Paul writing to the Corinthian church. We read those well-known words, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, old things. All things are become new." You say, "Preacher, if I was to come, I couldn't keep it." That's right, friend. No, you can't. No, you can't. You'll never keep it. Not in your own strength. But the Lord has promised that he will keep you. He will make you a new creature in Christ. And he will take away the desires for the old things. Believer, it's a call to service. Jesus said unto them, Mark chapter 1, verse 17, "Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." The Lord did not nor promise those who follow him an easy and trouble-free life. Again, in Mark, in chapter 8 and verse 34, we read, "And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me." But he did promise to be with those who would come through the trial and through the storm. And when he ascended into glory, he promised to send a comforter, the blessed Holy Spirit, to lead and guide those who would follow him. But you know, friend, tonight, as we consider the calls of invitation, there is also a call of warning. The call of warning goes out in John 3 and verse 18. "He that believeth not on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The call tonight is, come and see. But if you come not to Christ for salvation, then God's word tells us, yea, God's word assures us, that his Spirit will not always strive with man. Oh, friend, tonight, what if tonight was your last opportunity to accept the call of Christ to come? In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, we read, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Tonight, I urge you, in the name of my Savior, will you not come to Christ? The call goes out once again, come and see. And friend, tonight, hell is a real place. You say that you believe the Bible. Perhaps you'll say you believe in heaven. But you'll say, "Preacher, there's no such thing as hell." Well, hell doesn't exist, for God is a God of love. Yes, God is a God of love, for he sent his only begotten Son to save those who would believe and call upon him. And my Bible tells me that there is a real place called heaven. But my Bible also tells me that there is a real place called hell. Friend, tonight, dare you pass out into God's eternity, into that place called hell, then it will be too late to come and see. Tonight, no matter what you seek, Christ is the answer to your every need. Only he can forgive your sin. Only he can save your soul from eternal punishment. Only he can give you peace in your heart, no matter what the storms of life may bring. Only he can give you assurance of salvation and everlasting joy. And friend, we know not tonight what the day may bring forth. Not one of us know whether we will wake in the morning. For our life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. Again, friend, I urge you. I ask you, what seek ye? The invitation has not changed. Come. The psalmist writes in Psalm 34 and verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Amen.